Thank you, podcast friends. Thank you for listening. Again, your host, Pedro Diaz, your cultural broker, the Latino Experience. Welcome, Daniel. Thank you for joining me in this podcast episode.
Thank you very much for having me here.
Thank you, Daniel. I just want to tell you a little bit of what is it about. And I think we already talked a little bit, but it's about language, art, and business. As simple as that. We work with languages and culture. And culture is kind of all those combined, in my opinion. And that brings me kind of to the first question. And my first question for you, Daniel, can you tell us a little bit about you, your name, and kind of what you do here in São Paulo? And then we'll start from there. Introduce yourself.
All right. So, hello guys. Again, very happy to be here with my friend Pedro. Thank you for the opportunity. My name is Daniel. I am 38 years old. I live in São Paulo, lived here for my whole life. And I work as an English teacher and also as a freelance translator. I have been living here, like I said, for my whole life. I think it's very important for you to know different places, like Pedro said, about culture and meeting different people and everything. So right from the start, I want to say one of the best things you can do is invest in traveling.
Yes.
Like go out. You know, the world is a bigger place, and it's amazing out there.
I think that's great point, man. If I wouldn't have traveled, I wouldn't have met my wife. I wouldn't have come to Brazil. I wouldn't have done a lot of things if it wasn't that thing that, hey, I want to know more than where I'm at.
Well, that's something we have in common, because my fiance, she's from Santa Catarina.
Yeah.
And she actually came to São Paulo to do a photography course.
Yes.
Because there wasn't a really good one in there. And by, universal coincidence, she was the niece of the owner of a bar in my block, a bar that, of course, I was a client.
Right.
So in the end, we met, 9 years ago, and we are still together right now.
That's
getting
awesome.
Married in October, if everything works out.
Congratulations, though.
Thank you very much.
This question is vague. Oh, and for the podcast listeners, we're speaking in English right now, but as you may know, this podcast is also in Spanish, and right now I'm learning Portuguese. Yo falo un poco de portugués. Entonces, podemos utilizar el idioma que você goste, o podemos intercambiar de idiomas para la gente que escucha, porque pues es el Latino Experience. Muchos latinos, hablan español o portugués.
Right, let's make it easy for everyone.
Sí. Yeah. Y un poquito de cultura, ¿no? Entonces, esta first question is, y es un poco vague, vague, que es vaga, como que...
Yeah, that's the one.
Para empezar, pero para empezar la conversación, ¿qué es cultura para ti, Daniel? O sea, la palabra cultura, culture, ¿qué significa para usted?
Ok, bom, eu diria numa primeira definição mais geral que cultura é a expressão de um povo, de uma comunidade, de uma pessoa que vem ali da sua história geográfica, da história do seu povo, da história da sua família. E, por exemplo, cozinha. As comunidades têm as suas cozinhas típicas e vem da avó, que passou para a mãe, que passou para a filha. Isso é cultura, né?
E, que claro, é algo que conectamos e também que você gosta, nomás por tu Instagram, que conosco.
Sim,
que você...
Eu adoro cozinhar. Eu comecei a cozinhar quando era moleque ainda, cara, assim, tipo, final da adolescência, porque os horários dos meus pais eram meio malucos, então ou eu saía pra comer ou eu fazia. E acabei pegando gosto pela coisa. É, eu me preocupo muito com saúde, com o que eu como. E o melhor jeito de garantir, de saber o que você está comendo, é quando você mesmo faz. Né?
E também, então, algo de comida que quero agregar aí, é este... A comida é tua energia. O que comes, e por isso me gusta...
Somos o que comemos.
Exato. Aí conectamos muito você, we connect. E quero voltar um pouco e quero que digas a primeira parte em inglês de que it's an expression of a region or community.
Very good.
And that was culture, and I like that you said expression of a region or a community. Mm-hmm. It's a way we express ourselves.
So right now, yeah?
Oh, yes, go. I was
go,
just
go back to English, but so what yeah. I was saying about yeah. culture is that culture is basically the expression, you know, of your past, of your present, of your community, of your family, of your country, of your city. So
of your continent?
Of your continent, right? Like maybe someday in the future of your planet, right?
Right. Who knows? That's interesting.
You know, I believe there is something else out there.
Well, we'll leave that for the second part of the podcast.
For the second part. That's
where we get a little
funky. Talking about these expressions, you know, from people, from the country, from the culture.
Right.
We started to talk about food because I think it's one of the greatest ways
of expression
that we can express
of individual
our
and
culture,
region.
Our individual, exactly, like... You can start with a recipe that is maybe traditional from, I don't know, São Paulo, but then
right.
you add something from you because you lived in Mexico,
right.
so you bring the chili
Nasal,
peppers,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And maybe then, you know, my girlfriend is from the South, so maybe some German sausages or
right,
something,
right,
and,
right,
and
right,
then
right.
you have a totally new plate,
that's
new flavors.
That's one point, that's one thing that I want to point in this podcast is that São Paulo is such a diverse culture of humans and people. It's like so many different cultures that I didn't know until you get here. You don't know until you know. Like you said, there's Germans in the south of Brazil. I think the biggest
Japanese communities exactly. right here.
Biggest
in
Japanese
Liberdade.
Outside of Japan is the biggest population.
Yes, it's
yeah.
in Brazil.
And
yeah.
also Italian.
Italians
and of Africa as well.
In Africa,
so there's a big mix of culture, and it's a beautiful mix. I think that's what makes the United States great and Brazil great. That is just
because
the mix.
There is
a lot of
things going on.
And also, Lebanon people here in São Paulo. There's a lot of Mediterranean people.
Yes, and from Asia, from the Middle East.
Yeah.
It's been a while since I walk around here, you know, Vila Madalena itself, because I'm living more in Pinheiros right now.
Okay.
But right in the corner here on your street,
yeah.
there is a Colombian restaurant, and I thought to myself, you know, why didn't I already try this, you know? What's
yeah.
going on?
Because I don't say
ceviche. Did you already try it? It's
good. It's good. Are you perfect? No more. No, lembrar is remember, and in español is acordar.
Acordar.
Or recordar.
Like recordar.
Yeah. Very similar.
Recordar é algo mais formal para o nosso português aqui. Né? Eu me recordo. Normalmente eu lembro.
Lembro. La comida colombiana arapas. Something.
Yeah, I have those when I went to Cartagena.
Yeah, you went to
Bogota.
Been, you traveled to Colombia already?
Yes, I've been there.
Nice.
I went to Bogota, only 3 days in there.
Yes.
Very cold.
Cold.
I never felt so cold. Yeah, because it's really high, right? Like 3,000 feet high.
Also, São Paulo is like that, right?
São Paulo is 400 meters.
It's not that tall.
Bogota is like 3 kilometers. It's really much. So it was like -2, -3 degrees. But in the next day, we took the plane down to the island of San Andres.
Yeah.
And then it was like 45
degrees. You took a plane?
Yeah. The island is so small. that, you know, if the pilot doesn't get it right, it passed the island. you can literally go around the island in a car in 45 minutes.
Okay.
45 minutes.
Ilhabela?
Yes, like Ilhabela, like very small, very touristic, right? Exactly like Ilhabela, restaurants and hotels and everything.
Ilhabela is bello, is bonito, Ilhabela. Eu não me lembro de muitos mosquitos.
Muitos, muitos. Borrachudo.
Mas é muito bonito lá. Isso. É, foi uma das minhas primeiras experiências de viagem aqui em Brasil. Era Ilhabela. E falando de latinos, falando de Latinoamérica, Brasil, el sur de Brasil e agora Colômbia, que a palavra latino e hispano, que para ti que significa e que é a diferença para ti?
Cara, latino para mim tem um significado maior. Latino para mim vem da língua latim. Então nós somos latinos, o espanhol, o francês, o italiano é latino.
Sim.
Porque vem da origem da língua do latim.
Isso é o que eu também entendo.
Hispanos, eu confesso que é um termo que eu não costumo usar.
Não.
Eu, a gente ouve, né, cara, em filmes, em livros, em série, bastante, dependendo do contexto e do tema e tal. Mas eu entendo o que significa, por exemplo, para o americano.
Sim.
Né? O jeito que ele vê, por exemplo, o imigrante latino.
Que decir,
e de um certo modo, eu posso estar errado, mas a impressão que eu tenho quando eles usam é que, de um certo modo, é um pouco pejorativo.
Hispano?
O hispano, ou não.
Deixa eu dizer
talvez
um
seja
pouco
a impressão que eu tenho,
sí,
mas não sei.
Eu também estou de acordo com latino, vem da raiz latina, do la idioma origem, que muitos idiomas han crescido de aí.
Sim, sim.
Agora, hispano vem de Espanha.
Espanha.
E aí, por isso, dizem... Entonces dicen, ¿eres hispano? Y si eres hispano es porque de una manera vienes, tu sangre o tu familia viene de España. Eso es lo que yo, mi tendencia de las cosas. Entonces,
no necesariamente hispano de español América Latina, mas de esa descendencia directa con España.
Eso es lo porque vos como... Me imagino
por causa
que
los conquistadores,
exacto, los conquistadores españoles y aquí en Brasil,
Cortés, la turma toda.
Exacto, entonces, y aquí tienen portugués.
Sí.
Entonces yo no clasificaría.
Bueno, porque a gente não usa um termo parecido, né?
Porque
os Portuga, os. Exacto. Não sei, no português não.
Portugueses. Pero es más brasileiro, Brasil.
Yeah.
Que, pero como ustedes no, como vienen su historia o la historia de Brasil es más conectada a Portugal,
sí,
por la portugués, o sea, no, es extraño decirle a un brasileiro, tú eres hispano, Edu, ¿cómo vas a ser hispano? O sea, yo no conozco mucha historia de si muchos españoles vinieron a Brasil, ¿no? Fue...
Como colônia, né, que nós fomos portuguesa, o mais normal mesmo, é que... Mas eu, por exemplo, eu tenho o lado português do meu pai,
sim,
assim como do lado do pai dele é português e da mãe dele é índio, aqui, né, eu tenho sangue tupi. Né?
Tupi.
E pelo lado da minha mãe, vem da Espanha. Os Lara vêm da Espanha, são os famosos novos judeus, aquele povo que... trocou de sobrenome para todas as árvores possíveis, sabe? Os parreiros, macieira, os...
Não estou muito...
Porque
lá
aqui,
nessa,
que são o que a gente chama de os novos judeus, que, povos que fugiram, principalmente aí por causa das guerras e perseguição.
Sim.
Uma coisa muito mais recente, claro, a gente não está falando do século XVI, XIV, mas de agora, mas que vem que muitos vêm da Espanha, daquela área que durante muito tempo foi considerada ali dos curdos e tudo mais, aquela junção ali do Oriente com a Ibérica, né, que formou esse povo.
Que
é por isso que se a gente deixar a barba crescer e entra no avião lá, nego grita, né?
Não.
Porque, não, claro que não, piada, mas tem, existe uma semelhança.
Não, eu entendo o que dizes, porque...
Da região ibérica.
Sim, 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 sim. Eu entendo.
Então, eu tenho essa mistura.
E também, ou seja, a França está, pues, fronteira com a Espanha, não? Estás aí, te refieres a essa... Onde Espanha, França
e se juntam aí. E essa, essa ponta ali, sim, que ali embaixo faz a curva para passar aqui em cima, na parte alta África ali, Marrocos e tudo mais, porque aquilo ali também interagiu tanto durante os séculos.
Aí muita história.
É por isso que a gente usa o calendário árabe, né? Por isso que a gente usa tantas palavras que vêm de lá, né? Tudo que começa com A, L, por exemplo, vem do árabe, né? Alface, alfafa. E isso veio com quem? Com os espanhóis, com os portugueses,
alegria,
que vieram para a América. Alegria, pois é. Com os portugueses e espanhóis que vieram para a América,
sim,
porque
sim,
aquela mistura ali já tinha sido feita desde lá na época das cruzadas.
Né? Sim, 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 sim. Aí eu tenho... Pois, não, não para cortar, Daniel, mas podemos ir a... Bueno, a história, que creo que a ti, creo que por isso também conectamos a antropologia humana, creo que você também gosta de...
My father is a history teacher,
yeah,
you know, so I kind of grew up with this question mark, you know, always wanted to know more.
Cool.
So if you want, break me, because I'm very talkative, you know?
Okay,
if you let me,
okay.
I...
No, no, yo soy intérprete, entonces yo sé cómo
interrumpir. You know how to deal with,
sí,
with so, people like me.
It's all like, it's good, oh, just, yo nomás escucho una... que dejase un aire o una pausa y el intérprete tiene que entrenar, si no,
because if you miss the first one,
eso, bueno, eso es algo también que compartimos, que hablamos, bueno, yo como intérprete es diferente, después creo que lo podemos intercambiar el trabajo, yo creo que es difícil, pero con práctica se puede hacer. Pero,
like basically everything in life, right? Some things are difficult, but with practice, with training,
right,
you can get there.
At least
I firmly believe in that.
But, hay que te va a preguntar esta pregunta y luego tomamos un descanso para ver cuánto tiempo llevamos, ¿está bien?
Okay.
Bueno, y esta es también muy vaga, pero platícame un poco de uno de los tus libros favoritos y deja de tomar unas notas para...
Wow, that can be a really big list.
Bueno, let's do top three.
Okay. I'm gonna have to think a little about that. Like whatever comes to mind.
Yeah, first one to come
so,
to.
First of all, I have to say is not like a single book, but
okay,
I am a big fan of Tolkien's work.
Tolkien.
You know, when I was 14 years old, I read The Hobbit for the first time.
Okay.
After that, The Lord of the Rings, and then I bought Unfinished Tales and Silmarillion and etc. Like, I love the guy.
You're a reader.
I'm a reader, yeah. I start to like to read when I was young, you know, because maybe because I'm a son of a teacher.
Of course.
My mother was also a reader, and grandparents and everything.
Big influence.
Big influence, right. Like, it was something maybe, you know, what do you do in your free time? Well, my parents read, so you know how children are. Right, we absorb, we want to do the same, and my grandfather has this library, you know, and he didn't like that the kids got in there.
Really?
But he used to say something like this: I don't want you going in there. But he always left the door a little open, you know, and I was the first one to actually
curious,
and you know, after many years, I was already more than 20 years old. I don't remember exactly what Christmas was that, but he gave me his whole Jules Verne collection.
Jules Verne?
Jules Verne collection, the whole thing. Like, it's,
you need to educate me.
36 books, man. 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea,
okay,
the Going Around the World in 8 Days.
Okay. Those are classic.
Mystery Island, From Earth to the Moon.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jules Verne was from the 19th century, and he was like the visionary, you know, the guy who was already writing about we arriving in the moon, you know, about we going and find out what is in the deep of the ocean, you know, things like that. So kind of a science fiction, but from the 19th century.
And he
gave me the whole collection because he knew I was going to read everything. I didn't read all of them yet.
Okay.
Maybe half of them, because I like to read a lot of different things. So, you know, it's every year.
Dude, that's so cool, man, that I meet you, because maybe I don't have the best reading habits, but I do think reading is super important. I think reading
is
super
amazing.
Important.
It's amazing. You know, you can transport yourself to a completely different place, and then it's so easy to come back and, you know, now I have to work or something.
That's very, very interesting.
It's basically television that you create the images by yourself.
I like that because, I mean, you can go to YouTube, and when you're watching a video, I feel like everything is already made for you. You're not imagining anything. You're not we're exercising your brain.
Yeah, they are giving you all
everything. It's like manja.
Manja che te fa bene, right? Yeah. Like they say in Italy.
I don't know. Yeah, it's
like eat because it's good for you.
Yeah, it's just like, no, I think I'm misusing it. Creo que lo estoy mal usando, manja.
Oh, manja, creo, like manja.
Yo estoy diciendo like the shit, they just want to feed you like...
It's related to eating, yeah. It makes sense, like coma, right?
Pues, Daniel, me da mucho gusto que convertiste esos dos libros y qué bueno, me da mucho gusto que estés en el podcast y que seas una persona que gusta leer, porque en mi podcast, estoy... leo por 20 minutos en voz alta y es un pedazo de mi podcast de que hago estos 20 minutos están dedicados a leer y para pues mejorar y para practicar.
If you let me know that before, maybe I could brought one of my favorite books read a passage or
sí,
something.
Sí, estaría muy legal. Puede ser para otra. Hay que tomar un descanso para agarrar algo de tomar y beber y comer y continuar.
Sure, yeah. Take a little break.
Hello, my name is Pedro Diaz. I'm a Spanish interpreter, and I'm here to tell you about three skills that every Spanish interpreter uses to mediate between groups or persons to reduce conflict or to produce change. The number one skill is the ability to introduce respectfully and to set a tone of professionalism. The second and most important skill is to listen and take written notes. The third skill is clarification. Clarify the idea, the message, until it's 100% accurately. If you need Spanish interpreting services, please contact me by email or through my social media accounts. Thank you again. Talking about your favorite books, and you wanted to say a book that got you into reading.
Yes, it was the first book that I read it that really got me into, wow, I need to read more, you know. And I was probably somewhere around 12, 13 years old, and it was a book from school, you know, which I didn't choose exactly, but I feel like the book chose me, you know, because I really like that book, and the title in Portuguese, I don't know the original name. Maybe Pedro, you can do a little research after that, you know,
do
a little addition. In Portuguese, the name is No País das Sombras Longas. And
in a country of long shadows.
That's it. I don't know if the original name is like a literal translation or not.
The country of long shadows.
Country of.
Is it by what?
No, that looks like Cuba. It's not Cuba, that's for sure.
Land of long shadows
from 1981.
Let me see. By Newton Whitman White.
That's where the children's story of.
Well,
that's promising.
He's the author Muriel E. Newton White.
Yeah, that's wrong. No, I don't think it's the one. Maybe the land of the. She's. Where is the summarizing of the story? Just talking about the author and everything.
I look for it.
Let me try here. Let me try to do the research in Portuguese, and then we can try to find a similar in. Oh, here it is. Oh, that's the one. That's the cover I had.
Top of the world.
Did I click in? Yes. So use it in here. I don't have too much practice with the laptop, but that's the one, Top of the World. And I remember reading this book, you know, about this guy.
By Hans Rusch.
Rusche. Yeah, looks like Rusch, maybe. I don't know. Like I say to my students, names sometimes are very complicated because you can never be sure about the pronunciation
Right. Unless
you hear the person say before. Like I like to use the example of Angelina Jolie, you know, because it's actually Jolie, not Jolie, because I heard her say it once.
Oh, okay.
But anyway, I was 12, 13 years old, and my geography teacher selected this book for.
What was the geography's teacher's name?
His name was.
Is he still alive?
I like to think yes. You know, he was he was a really good teacher.
All right. Well.
I remember like having conversations with him. You know, like not only about the classes and everything, and he was dating the biology teacher.
Yes.
And she was really hot, by the way. Like her name, I remember. Her name was Ana Paula.
Oh,
and they were like a couple. And we, you know, the students, we kind of liked that. It was, I don't know, maybe kind of fun. You know? We were teenagers.
Yeah.
But anyway, I started to read this book, and I find it so interesting, the story, you know, about this Eskimo from far, far, far up north that had to go south. You know, to look for his roots, for his family. I honestly don't remember all the details. You know, it's been like 26 years maybe. But I remember the feeling, you know. I remember finishing the book and thinking with myself, like, wow, that's great. And like I literally took a trip without leaving my couch, you know. And like I was telling Pedro during our little break, right after that I started to learn Jules Verne, like I told you guys before, and it was like going around the world in 80 days. And so after those two books, you know, it was inevitable. I became a reader, and I still am, you know. I
What is the one that you're reading right now?
Right now I'm reading Hannibal.
Hannibal,
you know, the guy from the movie,
yeah,
Hannibal,
yeah,
the,
yeah,
cannibal.
Yeah.
I'm reading the, which is the book that is related to book number two.
Okay.
You know, that he fled to Europe.
Okay.
And now he's being chased by the FBI and everything. That one I'm reading in Portuguese. And in English, I'm reading The Island Where the Time Stood Still.
Mm.
I don't remember the name of the author now. I can send you that later,
okay.
Or we can do a little research.
Yeah,
but
yeah, yeah.
It's
what is it?
It's a really great movie. It's from the 80s. A really great book. Sorry, it's from the 80s. The Island Where the Time Stood Still. And it's goes around this guy. You know, he's a British guy, very fancy, like a millionaire.
Is it this one?
And he's
Dennis Whitley,
that's the one. And he's participating in this cruise around the world, you know, a very selected cruise, like only billionaires,
mm-hmm.
you know, people of influence. And the boat is hit by a storm and it's sunk. They are.
Oh, it sounds like the Titanic.
Yeah, but they were actually in the Pacific. There was no ice.
Okay.
they were able to
tropical.
They were able to sink only with a tropical storm.
Whoa!
Yeah. And
okay.
You know, this guy is the only survivor. He wakes up in this very beautiful shore. You know,
tropical island maybe.
He has no idea where he is yet.
Maybe Hawaii.
Very, very. you know, in the same altitude, you know, but on the other side of Africa, like below Asia,
maybe below Madagascar,
below India, maybe close to Madagascar, that region.
I mean, the world is the world is so hey, what are like just the word that I'm looking for? It's
amazing, incredible.
That's a great, but like mysterious as well.
Mysterious.
Because that's
thanks to the universe, right? Like, what's the fun of knowing all the answers?
Exactly, because the that's what I would. You were telling me about it. Sorry to cut you off. I'll tell you.
No. Let's go. We can come back.
But you were. It just reminded me, like you. I'm trying to guess. Guess the island. But I don't know. It's the book. It's a mystery, man. It's an island.
It's like the King Kong Island.
Yeah, it's just like
just a few people know it's there, and the other people don't even believe. It's like the perfect lie because no one believes it's in there. Right.
Exactly, and it's if the Kong Island, did you say?
Yeah, like just like King Kong Island.
If there was a King Kong Island, it's probably in Brazil. I'll tell you something. Because there's so many islands. Also Indonesia, like I say.
Indonesia. It's actually the biggest archipelago in the world, I think.
Which one?
Indonesia. It's like,
more
3,000 islands.
Yeah, I'm impressed by how many islands Brazil has, like in the coast. So many islands, and that's why I said it. But but the island thing, back to the island, is a mystery. It could be any island.
It
could
be
anywhere. Yeah. It could be, and that's something cool about reading or just listening to what you were saying, that hey, it can take you to whatever island you want. It's your imagination.
And that's the ability of telling a story. Mm-hmm. You know, because maybe you have some experience with a book or something that you were not really. Like, for example, I have to say this since we're talking about books. Have you ever read Moby Dick?
No, man. I think I have, but I didn't put attention.
Moby Dick is considered to be a classic.
Yes.
You know, to be one of
is
the great Dickens? Works. No, not Dickens.
Like you'd say, I'm looking like an idiot in my podcast.
No,
right
Dickens.
Now.
Charles Dickens is a different area of actuation.
Herman Melville.
Melville is American.
Herman Melville.
Yeah.
American writer.
And I have to say, a lot of people say great things about Moby Dick. You know, there is like 15 different movies about Moby Dick, right? You have
the famous.
You have adaptations, you have movies, you have theater. But let me tell you something. I read Moby Dick in English, you know, the original stuff. It's 545 pages. I never forgot that number. 445 pages. And the whale, you know, the white whale, you know, the bad guy from the story, it only shows up around page 450. So you have to go to more than 400 pages to actually, figuratively speaking, to actually see the whale. You know, and then you ask me, okay, so
Hold on, time out. Spoil alert.
spoil alert, I'm sorry. So then you think, so okay, so what the hell they are talking about in those 400 pages? They are talking
about
are talking about knots, like different kinds of knots that you can do.
Yeah, that's what
they are talking about
Boy Scout stuff.
They are talking about
sailing.
They basically talk about everything that you need to know about
sailing.
How a sailing boat, like a whaling boat,
you know,
works.
What, you know what I do remember now? Something is like tickling my brain that I think in school they make you read that. So I'm remembering now a little, like it's similar, familiar. Something familiar about the knots and being kind of
it's like a little manual, you know. They talk about all the parts of the ship.
Yeah.
They talk about the functions of all people in there. They talk about how to take away the fat from the whale to make the oil that will become the fuel.
That's
and everything.
Cool.
So
it's almost like an instructional book.
It's like they actually talk about paintings of whales. you know, the painting made by Mr. Na-na-na was not very accurate, because according to someone else, I mean, come on, you're buying a book about whaling, and when you see the cover, right, there is this big whale and a boat up in there, a lot of guys like, why? And you say, whoa, this is gonna be good, right? This is gonna have a lot of adventure, dead people, and mysterious islands maybe, right? Maybe they arrive somewhere. And, yeah. But no, it's like a lot of instructions, a lot of...
So do you like it, or like you don't
technical,
like it?
I didn't like it. That was... I read through the end, because I don't like to stop reading books even if I'm not liking.
Oh man.
So I need to go to the end.
But isn't it beautiful when you get a book and you just like boom boom boom, you just eat it up? Instead of like,
that's the best.
And instead of like, because those are the only ones I finished. Nah, I try to be more disciplined about finishing all the books. But man, there's some books that are tough to like. Man, so dry, so...
Yeah, Moby Dick was tough for me, because I wasn't expecting that. You know, I was expecting like adventure and things like that.
Look,
it was just
look what my alert says in my... Read more now.
Read more now. Like, yeah, it's...
It's like... It's, so I'm glad I'm talking
like,
to you.
Online mother.
Yeah.
So read this now. Go brush your teeth. Do this. Do that.
So it's just, it's a reminder for me to read more, because
just don't start with Moby Dick, man, because you're gonna go down again.
I just finished reading, and I'm gonna mispronounce this, but advertisement by I have it here. Man, I'm gonna mispronounce his name. David Ogilvy. David Ogilvy, which this guy was a badass advertisement agent in Manhattan back in the glory days of advertising. And it's just about, it's about that. It's about advertising. It's about good copyright for advertisement, and how to make a good TV commercial. I've always been interested in marketing and stuff like that. And I think that's why I like the podcast, and because it's, in a way, sometimes it's similar to the whole business of media and advertisement. Mm-hmm. And that's
we are actually advertising.
Yeah, you just advertised like three books and three authors.
Well, three books, one of them you avoid, please, the other two. Like go read The Lord of the Rings and anything from Tolkien, from J.R.R. Martin, you know, those guys, they actually used to sit down together in bars and drink beer and talk fantasy and write books, you know, so go for these guys. But maybe, of course, you don't like this kind of thing, you're a little more like a romance person and everything, but there's so much good things out there, you know. I'm a big Stephen King fan. I love the guy. I have maybe 10 books from him in English at home. I have some in Portuguese too. And he's amazing. Have you ever read anything from Stephen King?
Yes and no. That I can't
yes
remember.
And no.
Yes and
maybe so.
Yes and I'm not gonna remember. You know what? It's again. I feel like I picked up a book and then I read a little bit and then like I really didn't continue reading like Stephen King. I'll tell you my favorite author. And maybe I like reading psychology books or something, but it's my favorite author is this guy, Malcolm Gladwell. Have you heard about him?
Malcolm Gladwell. The name is not completely strange to me, but no, I...
Because, so you don't think I'm a complete moron? I do read.
I don't think that, man. Don't go there, please.
I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. Yeah, no, but
I know.
But I'm very happy that you read, though, because I like this guy.
Maybe we can do a little exchange one day.
Yeah, maybe.
You loan me some, I loan you some.
Canadian journalist.
Gladwell.
Gladwell. Yeah, I like the way he writes. I was able to, read his books. You know how you get a book easily? I was able to read his writing easily.
Mm-hmm.
But... Well, let's move on. I want to ask you another question that maybe it's almost related to media, But it's not about books, and maybe you don't watch, but what about movies? Tell me a little bit about your favorite movies.
Right.
I don't watch movies,
no,
I read.
I watch movies all the time. Movies, series, you know. I think one of the biggest lies that society and people tells us today is there is not enough time, you know. We have 24 hours a day, you know. I wake up at 5 a.m., you know. So before I go to our box training at 7, I already organized my whole day.
Daniel and I met at Gyo boxing class, and then we're just like, we talked a little bit. So, like, oh, you work with language? I'm like,
I
work
found
with
out
languages. And I'm like, yeah, let's do this podcast, talk a little bit more. And I just wanted to add that. But let's go back to movies, your favorite movies.
So yeah, like I said, I think one of the biggest lies is we don't have time, you know, because 24 hours is a lot of time in a day. Depends on how you use it. You know, like people say it's bad to stay online for 3 hours. Is it? Because I stay online for 3 hours studying things that I like to study, you know. And of course, I give my 30 minutes of Facebook and Instagram every day because I like to check and everything. So yes, I have time and I watch movies, and I'm a big fan of basically three kinds of movies, you know, suspense, investigation, police movies, yeah. You know, and I'm a big fan of horror movies.
Okay.
I really like to be scared, you know. Yeah. It's like a...
But it's difficult when you like horror movies.
Yeah, but sometimes there is that movie that surprises you.
Yeah.
You know, that you are really like, whoa, I'm spooked right now. And and sometimes I'm watching in the living room, you know, everything is dark.
Oh,
and I go like, mother, and then Amanda in the bedroom, she start like, because she knows what's going on. And the cat is like, you know, and then 5 seconds later, I'm like laughing with myself because I really enjoy it.
Doug, let me ask you something. When you watch a horror movie like that, when you watch a horror movie all dark, and it scares you.
Yes.
What happens? What happens when you go to sleep that night?
Sometimes,
do you have visions?
Maybe
in
not.
Your dreams, nightmares?
Maybe not visions, you know. But I'm a little suspicious going to the bedroom. I am. I have to admit, especially because you know sometimes you are you know having a beer, right, or something. You are a little more susceptible, right, to maybe this is real, but you know there is that. 5 minutes when you have to turn on the TV and you check the other lights and the house is all dark and something touches your leg and you think, whoa, it's my cat. And, well, let's hope it is, right? And when I get to bed, I actually do this with Amanda, you know, like make sure that she's there. Because we know it's not real, of course, it's movie, but that's why I like to watch.
Yeah.
But
your mind is so
horrible. A lot of times I dream about it.
Oh, hell yeah.
Like sometimes
that's what
it's
I wanted
scary.
To say.
Sometimes I'm fighting the fear, but the dream comes.
Yeah, that's what I want to say. The dream comes, like, cause like, oh, I like scary movies. I like horror movies, but I know that the dreams are gonna hunt me. They're gonna unless I'm tired and I don't care and I'm just ready to go to work or what. But the mind, whatever you feed
the mind is
also
very complex, and that's that.
Man. You know what I mean? Like,
yes,
what,
sure.
But I like the horror movies, like a roller coaster, like an adrenaline rush. For like,
sure,
it's
sure.
Fun to enjoy.
It's fun to see something that is not part of your real day by day. You know, like even being a horror or a science fiction movie. I always like science fiction too because I'm never going to the moon. You know. It's not related to my profession or anything. So I like
to
see.
They might need a translator up in the moon.
Well, maybe
an interpreter.
Will. You know, I need to continue to think positive. Why
maybe
not?
Maybe an interpreter.
Man? But you know, then you like to see a story when maybe someone goes in there and there is a little adventure.
Yeah.
And all. Like,
well,
like I well, always
no,
say, I like.
Well, no, because you haven't said any titles, but you said genre. So it's horror, suspense, and some action.
And yeah, the action is
always
there.
What was
the
latest movie you've seen that you like or enjoy?
I watch it. I don't know the name in Portuguese. Brooklyn Sem Pai Nem Mãe. That's a Edward Norton movie. Mm. You know, he's acting, he's the producer, the director, and there's a lot of other famous people in there. And it's kind of a suspense police movie. You know, he's a private investigator.
Okay.
And he finds out that his old partner is dead. And he starts to investigate the whole thing. And of course, you know, he's going to come back to his neighborhood and to people he knows. And I don't want to give spoils this time, you know, because watching a movie is easier than reading a 500-page book.
Say it again.
It's called Brooklyn Sem Pai Nem Mãe. That's in Portuguese. Em português, claro. Eu não me lembro do nome original. É um filme do Edward Norton. É com ele também.
But it's Brooklyn. Brooklyn.
Sem pai nem mãe.
Sem. We are. Is it this one? No, this is not it. Oh, let me put Edward. Motherless Brooklyn. Motherless.
Como é que chama em inglês? Ah, Motherless Brooklyn. Talvez seja esse. Sem pai nem mãe, né? Makes sense.
Motherless Brooklyn. Damn, that looks.
So it was going on in the HBO, I think. I couldn't watch that day, so I recorded, you know, watch it in the next one. So this is the kind of movie I like. You know, a lot of turnovers. You know, you think they are going in a way, and then they go to a different way. And Edward Norton, man, I'm a fan. I think Bruce Willis maybe is in there too. I don't really recognize the picture. No, each one is okay for me. There is William Dafoe is in there. I don't remember him.
They're a little bit shaken up because of the hype.
No, that's okay. It's been like 3 weeks since I watched. Because nowadays I'm doing a little marathon on NCIS New Orleans.
Okay, you know? Okay, shout out New Orleans.
I love the accent. The accent, that English from the bayou, you know, wrestling with alligators.
Oh, the
very
southern
close
accent.
Very close to
Texas.
I'm from
Texas.
Yeah, so, I know you are.
So
you are neighbors, you know. But I really like soundtrack. The soundtrack is amazing. You know, New Orleans, right?
Mardi Gras. New Orleans.
The soundtrack of the series is crazy.
I hear music in New Orleans is bumpy.
No, it's amazing. Yeah. It's from the jazz to the blues to the rock. And it's,
I need to go. This
is only. Oh, sorry. Yeah.
Let's
only
go to
the
New
good
Orleans.
Stuff.
Well, I'm glad I'm enjoying the conversation, and one of the things that okay, so these things, so back to like the purpose of the podcast. El propósito del podcast es cómo, qué son las cosas, what are the things that bring cultures together, that bring people together, you know. So that's what the theme of my podcast. Of the Cultural Broker podcast, the Latino experience, is what brings people together. And we started off with one of the biggest topics that bring people together is food. Hungry people, food brings people together all over the world. And another thing that brings people together, now that we're more relaxing, is alcohol. Beer brings people together. Another thing that brings people together is marijuana, weed brings people together. From all over the world, people drink beer, smoke weed, smoke
and
cigarettes.
Of course, they eat after all that.
And they eat before
and
after.
Right.
So those are the things, I guess, I want to push as an ultimate goal of my podcast is bringing people together, bringing people that are different cultures and how to churrasco. Is one of the things that brings people
that
together.
That brings people together.
Barbecuing. And just spit out things that bring people together. And I think that's culture. Like, at the end of the day, we're humans. Might have different culture, but you get a Korean.
Come from different places. And
a Korean and a Brazilian and a Mexican and an American.
And
do they have in common? They all want a barbecue grill.
And if I may interrupt you, that I think it's the main thing that bring people together.
What?
The intention. you know, when you have an intention to make friends, to overlook things like origin, color, language, or things like that. Just by doing this, you are already open yourself to other people.
That's beautiful.
And when you reach this I don't know if I can call that, maybe this stage of freedom, you know, you naturally start to attract
more
the right people.
That's beautiful. Yeah.
To your side, to your group, you know, and then it becomes like a snowball. It rolls down and it grows and it grows, because it doesn't matter, like you say, where do you come from or what do you do for a living or what happened to your family.
Yeah.
What matters is right now we are here sharing a drink, preparing some food in the grill,
pizza,
listening to some music,
drinking some pizza.
Right?
Drinking
some pizza.
That's a different culture.
That I never did, but hey, let's try. You know, open mind.
No,
yeah,
man.
Why not? Maybe we can drink some pizza and you can eat some beer.
No,
that
can
happen.
No, that's a,
but anyway,
oh, man,
like
that's
like
in
I
a
said,
parallel universe.
What I think it brings people together is this intention of being together. You know, because if you want to be together with someone.
Yeah.
With a group,
yeah,
it should be easy to happen. Sometimes it's not. Let's be honest. To connect and everything, because a lot of us has a lot of baggage, right? Like the past sometimes was not very favorable to being social, you know, to being outgoing and everything. But like you said, in the end, this is what we want, you know, as people. We always were community beings.
Yeah.
We never lived alone. There was always someone else in the cave.
Yeah.
You know, always. And if you can connect it to the next cave, whoa, that's a party, right? Right, like that's a party. Like that's a barbecue. Do you have some meat in there? Yes, I do.
Tiene una tortilla.
So let's share that. You know, but. You know, so that's...
So if you're talking about, why are we so divided now then? Why are we... And I don't want to say that we are divided, because let's back up a little bit. Because I think we're more together, we're more similar than we are... we're more similar than we are different. But why does the media, why does politicians, and maybe this is a dangerous topic to go into my podcast, but why... Why is there always a right or a left or a red or a blue or a green or a yellow? Why is there always, what is, I mean, talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, that's a difficult one.
It's just the yin yang of life, no?
Maybe in part, you know, there is no light without darkness, that kind of stuff. Right? But I think there is a lot of personal interest in there. That keeps some things going.
Power.
You know, and unfortunately, these interests they are still overpowering the, let's say, the counterculture in this meeting. You know, the forces that are fighting against it. So, for example, the news. What was the last time that you saw something good?
Man, I don't even want to talk about the news, because the one thing that comes to my mind is that what happened in Afghanistan this week, and U.S. military left, and you just see other people. Man, those are some horrific pictures.
Yeah, some gruesome stuff.
Let's get out of politics, and let me ask you something. Man, I have... Now it's getting longer, but let's do it. So, I have some questions for you. So, tell me about your favorite food dish. Quick.
Ooh,
First one, go.
Favorite food dish. Okay, I'm gonna go with pizza, I guess.
Okay.
Just because it was a really fast answer.
Yeah,
I
put
because
pressure.
I put pressure
because I have some questions and I don't want to take
that's
a lot
okay.
of
pizza
time.
Pizza from a long time, from
okay.
like maybe 25
right,
years.
Man.
It was
now,
part of my culture and I really like. I don't eat it all the time, but it's something that... if you offer.
Yeah.
I have.
What about, tell me about sports. Tell me what, I know we, I mean, we like sports obviously because of boxing and training. And, but what, tell me, what are your, some of your favorite sports? What did you grow up playing?
I grew up playing basketball, you know, from my early teenage years until almost 18. I used to practice with ACM, you know, playing in championships and everything. I was also a swimmer for a long time. I compete. And before all that, I was already a martial arts fan.
Yeah.
I started with capoeira when I was really young at school.
Yeah.
Then I went to taekwondo, and now, you know, we do box and Muay Thai together. But what I really like to watch is the big events, you know, like the Olympics and the athleticism competitions.
I like one of the, sorry to interrupt, but you like that, you grew up playing basketball. I think one of the most exciting tournaments is the NCAA.
The NCAA
basketball
is very,
tournament.
Is very nice. Yeah.
It's intense.
Now, 2-3 years ago, I was very close to NBA and NCAA, so I used to watch. Now, nowadays, not very much. I used to sign that NBA channel.
Yeah.
So I could watch like two games every day in the computer, whatever games I want to choose.
Yeah.
And that happened because they really incentive that culture. Right, like you should practice any sport since school, and then for high school, and then you go to college, and then it's not by chance that the United States has, you know, a million golden medals in the Olympic game. It's because they invest in this, and it's part of their day by day culture.
Right.
Unfortunately, it's not.
But resources.
Yeah, I changed the subject a little again.
A little bit, but you know what? You know what I wanted to go back because I asked you about food and
the food.
But I feel like it was such a pressure, such a short thing, just pizza. What's your favorite thing? Just like such a short amount of time spent on food, because food is such a big thing, like we talked about, that brings people together. So let's go back and let's go with top three favorite food dishes.
Okay, so before name any food dishes, I like to say that the food that I like is the food that I make. And not only myself, like myself, my fiance, my parents, you know, my family, my friends, when we are together, I think that's the best food.
Awesome.
You know, because when you are doing, sharing laughs, sharing conversation, sharing drinks, it's a lot of love in there. So so that makes the food a good food, whatever it is. Yeah. Now, with that said, now that I can prepare a little back myself, if I had to choose three dishes, I think we can stay with the pizza in there.
Okay.
Because for a long time, it was something that, you know, I spend 6 days in the week waiting for that day, because that day was the pizza day. Because it was something from my house, you know, from my father, from my mom. My father, crazy about pizza, and we tried different places. We went to different places.
Yeah, kind of like your father.
We start to make our own, you know, one time, like in the oven, simple stuff. Yeah, we never had
make the dough.
To start to make the dough and this kind of thing. Nowadays, for example, I like to do a protein pizza. There is no flour in the dough. The dough is actually made of chicken. It's very nice.
You're getting crazy.
It's like thin and crispy, but it's like a protein bomb. You know?
I understand.
Because
there is
zero carbohydrate.
I understand
pizza,
being healthy, but man, sometimes flavor.
No, but that pizza is great, I promise you.
I gotta try it. I can't be prejudiced.
I'm gonna make you someday, or I can send you the recipe, because I promise you,
so
man, it's
pizza,
a great pizza.
Pizza, and what are the other two?
Okay, can I go a little wider than dishes? Because, for example, I love Asian cuisine.
Okay, that's what I'm trying to say. Cuisine.
I love Asian cuisine. I love the sour together with the bitter together with the sweet. You know,
I love sushi.
Like sushi or...
I was
thinking here about like a sweet and sour duck.
But
you know, with
yakisoba.
Some with some light salad and
duck, you put.
I forgot the name, like
Gergelin
over the
Hebrew.
God damn it, I forgot the Gergelin in English, but anyway.
Ginger.
So, no, ginger, gengibre, that's another thing, which is also amazing. Put some ginger in there, I love
sesame
it.
Sesame
seed? Sesame, that's the one, you know, with sesame.
Como se diz em português?
Gergelin.
Una vez más?
Gergelin.
Gergelin?
Gergelin.
Gergelin?
Yeah, like in the... The bread from McDonald's.
Sesame
seeds. Sesame
seeds. In Espanol.
I need to look it up. I have no idea. Yeah. And if I have to choose something else, I will go maybe with... now I'm actually having doubts in here because I love to eat and to make sandwiches.
Dude!
You know, different sandwiches with different breads and different meats and different cheeses.
Yo crecí
and different
sandwiches.
Fillings and different styles. So yeah. I like to put my creativity in that. You know, I like to make my own burgers. I like to shred a pork shoulder with beer, cheese sauce and make it like, you know, when you bite, it goes down your arm like this. But also, I'm a big fan of typical Brazilian food, you know, what we call, like, for example, feijoada.
Pois, that's the, nomás para que la audiencia. Sesame seed, en español, semilla de sésamo o semilla de anjojil. Y en portugués, una vez más?
É o famoso gergelim.
Gergelim. E em inglês, sesame seed.
Okay. Sesame seed. Esta está... So, English and Spanish are almost there. Semilla de sésamo, sesame seed.
E, puta, pero acabas de dizer uma palavra clave aqui em Brasil.
Feijoada, right? Yes. In English with caipirinha.
Caipirinha. Que lá me Luana me ensinou uma coisa, me dá muita risa. Salud, Daniel. Gracias por hacer esto.
That's my pleasure.
Yeah, I'm having fun now. Really? I'm enjoying it now with the beer. I think I loosened up a little bit. I'm more relaxed and enjoying the conversation.
I think me too. I'm gonna see the difference between the first 10 minutes and right now.
Oye, ¿sabes que también comimos un pedazo de pizza en el break que no había almorzado? Entonces, algo cambió mi mood.
That's good. A little sugar in the blood.
Yeah, I feel a lot more relaxed. And I want to say something about that. About when you have, I do want to say, man, I don't even know if it's religious or spirituality, but I like to say thank God for my food. I just feel so grateful when I have a slice of pizza.
I try to actually do this every time I eat.
Yeah, and I don't know, it's because of my I was raised Catholic, and of course it's just, and I had a family friend that is almost like. An uncle is almost like a second father, and he's a priest. So I've learned so much from him, and he's like I say, he's like an uncle, and he's almost like family. And I learned so much from that. From like that's one of the things that from the Catholic practice, like they say thank you for the food before they eat, and that's very.
No, that actually makes the food. Works better for you.
Yeah,
and that is actually scientifically proved today.
But
you know that if you talk with your food, with your water, with your plants, they will develop. You know that's science nowadays.
Yeah. So I just wanted to say that I feel relaxed because I ate a pizza and I had a beer, and I just want to say like thank God and thank whoever is up there or whoever is around us. For the food and the mental health I have, it man, we're so blessed. Because I want to bring something up. Because man, just the simple thing, that we can have two slices of pizza, and be able to have a work,
interpreting.
And we don't understand how blessed we are sometimes. Because and there's no judgment against like I wanted to talk about the homeless. Like I was walking in São Paulo, it's a beautiful afternoon. I'm gonna put a picture of this view. Like, it's beautiful.
I saw one today with the cat in the window. It was from here.
But then I saw one in Fradique, and he was just taking over the whole sidewalk. He was just like in the whole sidewalk, the homeless person. And I was just thinking, like, fuck, like, what the fuck do you do? Like, what the fuck do you do? And I just continue walking, and I went to Express, which is like a 7-Eleven here,
mm-hmm.
in the translation in the United States.
Sure.
And then it
was a Carrefour Express.
And I'm like, and I just, it's an image. It's a strong image to see a person.
Something
in
that
the street.
Sticks with you.
It just, it's like you can't, and maybe because I'm whatever, but in the big city, you see more of it. And then, whatever, I get to the Express, the 7-Eleven, I buy some beer for us, and I buy a fucking water, and I give the water to this person. But it's just like, not even to say about that small deed, that is just water and a lip. I just give him a water of gas, con gas y limón.
Sparkling water.
Exactly. Yeah. Fancy motherfucking
My students always ask, like, it's like gassy water. No, gassy water is a water that farts a lot. you don't want to drink that water.
Sparkling water. I don't know what I don't want to bring the mood down, but the whole thing was that I'm so thankful for everything I have, for the pizza and whatever. And this homeless guy was like, he was thankful too. He's like, I gave him the water and the lemon, and I was like, oh, thank you, gracias. And he understood, like, sometimes we think we see a person in the streets, and sometimes we think like that he's not coherent, that he doesn't know what's going on. But they know what the fuck is, like,
there,
he understood.
There's a lot of them that knows. You know, I learned that when I was a teenager. I used to live in close here in Villa Maddalena.
Yeah.
And there was this guy living on the street. But he was always reading, you know, Like, I was a young kid, I was like 10 years old, and then 12, 13, 14, like, I was growing up and watching this guy. And one day when I was a teenager, I actually went and talked to the guy. You know, he was a teacher in the past. You know, he had a degree. And every day he was reading and he was writing, and I unfortunately didn't participate in that, but a couple of months later, someone from a school actually interviewed the guy, and they published the interview with some of his poems. And not only that there was people interested in publish the guy, but his family from Salvador, Bahia, found him because of that.
That's a beautiful story.
They didn't even know he was here in São Paulo. And he was very coherent. You know, he knew how to read.
Why do we write?
He just been through some rough times, you know, very rough times. And he lost money, and he lost his house, apartment. I don't know exactly the details. But he was there, you know, and the only thing that he needed was to actually someone to approach and ask the question, you know, who are you? What are you doing here? Is there anything I can do for you?
Excuse me, yeah.
They found his family, and he was being published. You know, his life changed like
that's
that.
That's so fucking crazy.
And he was there, like a...
That's a beautiful thing about life, too, that...
It's crazy and unexpected. Can we take this opportunity so I can take a quick bathroom break?
Yes, let's do it. Hello, my name is Pedro Diaz. I'm a Spanish interpreter, and I'm here to tell you about three skills that every Spanish interpreter uses to mediate between groups or persons to reduce conflict or to produce change. The number one skill is the ability to introduce respectfully and to set a tone of professionalism. The second and most important skill is to listen and take written notes. The third skill is clarification. Clarify the idea, the message, until it's 100% accurately. If you need Spanish interpreting services, please contact me by email or through my social media accounts. Thank you again.
Igor. Igor is the name of the guy who helps Dr. Frankenstein.
Yeah, you were telling me last time.
You need to see that movie, man. The comedy, The Young Frankenstein. That's one of my favorite movies right there.
Tell the people.
The Young Frankenstein,
right,
by Mel Brooks with Gene Wilder. That is the best comedy I ever saw in my whole life. And I love comedy.
I love comedy.
Mel Brooks, The Young Frankenstein. Watch it. And then tell us what you think.
Yeah.
Anything by Mel Brooks, anyway. Mel Brooks is a genius. He's a freaking genius. You know, Spaceballs, which is basically based on Star Wars and Star Trek. That's really funny, too.
I like to... Oh, yeah, Spaceballs. We can
But go for The Young Frankenstein. It's the best. It's the best one of them all.
We can... No, we can't watch anything.
Well, I can fix this edit. I'm going to edit the audio later
maybe
on.
Maybe you can find a trailer.
Yeah, that's what I was going to do. Maybe we can watch some videos to finish off and then...
Sure.
With this...
Well, like I told you, I can stay spare here maybe 20, 25 minutes still. So I can arrive in my house with a little...
Yeah.
Short break for my 5 p.m. class.
And tell me... Now, well, that's interesting. Tell me about how
I'm
the
almost
class structure... Huh? The class structure of it. Like how... Like, tell me what are you going to do... Like, I don't want to put you to work, but just tell me the skeleton of the class that you have to give. El esqueleto de... Como un outline, las tres cosas que...
I got it. You know, most of my students, we follow a pre-made material. Mm-hmm. I personally like to use, and that's the material that the school offers. It's the Cambridge Touchstone books, which is, you know, basically that structure that offers you a little bit of everything. You know, you're gonna read, you're gonna listen, you're gonna speak, and I'm missing something here. Listening, speaking,
I like threes.
Writing and reading.
Writing
And writing is such important thing, and unfortunately is one of the least explore ability.
Yeah.
Because you know what? Because the students don't like.
Why?
If you ask them to write, they go like,
why?
But if you ask them, listen to this music and find a new vocabulary, they all do it, you know?
Why don't they want to
write? I don't know. I think it's kind of a cultural thing, you know? People
like,
from school or things like that, we are used to...
You know what?
We are used not to like this kind of activity.
You know what? You know what I didn't like? I like to share something for you. Like, I didn't like writing... or English when I was in high school. Like, I was bad. Like, I was... It was...
But
it's actually embarrassing.
But you didn't like it because you were bad, maybe.
I was... Like, I don't know, man.
Because
it
was
it
not...
It wasn't good. It wasn't good. Maybe I wasn't focused. And, I mean, some stuff were going on or whatever. But it wasn't good. And I don't know how life teaches you even if you don't want to learn. Somehow.
Oh, yeah. That's why it's here.
And...
even if it needs to... punch inside of you. That.
Because I didn't want to went to university not taking English and writing series. And I got through university not taking. So I'm good. I'm decent enough to pass.
Mm-hmm. Without making a big effort.
Exactly. And that's that sucks.
But that's the thing. Imagine if you put the effort.
Well, that's what's funny now. And now how funny it is that now I'm in Brazil. And now I'm like, oh my God, like why, like writing is such an important thing, man. I'm not that at it.
But you know
what,
what is interesting about this is usually people go with a story like that and they think about regret.
Fuck regret.
But I like to think that you learn a valuable lesson and now you're acting different because
of
that. Yes, that's the meaning of life, man.
Yeah.
I mean... We all are gonna make mistakes, you know. Every single person is gonna fall off the bicycle.
Yeah.
But the difference is, who can get back on the
bicycle?
With
a fucking helmet.
And continue.
And wear a fucking helmet.
And maybe someone is wearing a helmet.
This
right?
time.
And knee pads and elbow pads, right?
Yeah. Just the helmet.
But you understand what I'm saying? Like, it's more like how you face something.
Yeah.
Because you know. Bumps, they are gonna be in your way, right? We are gonna make mistakes. Everybody does. That's not the problem. The problem is if you don't learn from them.
Yeah,
If you repeat the same mistake,
is the only animal that keeps
repeats the same mistake because in a way they believe the answer is gonna change.
Why are we so smart, but
I'm a faithful person. Yeah. You know, I'm a spiritualist. I believe in the laws of attraction. I think we are what we think we are. Mm-hmm. I think we are what we eat. We are sons of the universe. We are made of.
We are what we read.
What we read, exactly. What we talk about with our friends. We are like a lot of things together.
Yeah.
But
it's just to interrupt you there.
No problem.
Sometimes you are the other person, like you are me and you, I am you, and I am that homeless person as well.
Because
I am the instructor and I am the student.
I think this is an ability that we need to have. We need to have the ability to put ourselves in the shoes of the other person so we can understand that person. You know, I'm gonna quote the Bible in here when Jesus said, "I am that I am," he's actually saying, "I am you, I understand you, I know where you are coming from. So I respect you, and I'm not gonna react to what you do because I understand where you're coming from." That's why he said, "If you hit me on one side, I give you the other one. I'm not gonna hit you back."
Why?
You know? Because I know you are coming from a difficult place. Maybe you lost a parent.
So they say hurt people.
Maybe you lost a parent. You know, maybe you are in a very difficult place and you are angry, and you are. You know, you are expressing that anger.
Negative.
But if you come to me and you hit me, I'm not going to hit you back. I'm going to let you hit me again because I understand where you're coming from.
I think that's a great way to kind of like bring back kind of where we started. It's like about bringing different cultures together.
Sure. Like, right now we're talking basically about religion.
Yeah.
And interesting thing about religion, the bases are all the same. All the same. You go to Hinduism, you go to Buddhism. Oh God. Please. Oh, say. That was me?
No sé qué pasó.
I don't know. The table was a little.
Oh, see, I hit the table a little bit. It was the tension.
And then you said no, and I froze. Oh boy, man. Well, at least it's in the carpet, so I think it's. From here? No, that way. I thought it was the other way. Oh man, that was scary. For a second. Hope everything is alright.
Mm-hmm. What the fuck? No. Lo perdí.
What happened?
I lost it.
What?
I went back and I lost it. That was some good shit.
That last part?
The best part, dog. No puedo creerlo. No, sí, with it. Porque no le puse next.
It wasn't recording.
No, it was recording, but when I tried to save it and I put. I went back and it did. Ni pedo.
Ooh, that's bad.
Oh, yeah. Hey, we got the audio.
Well, that's perfect. If we got the audio, that's okay. At least that.
Let's just smoke this joint and wrap this
like,
up.
Like it says in over there, relax.
Exactly. let's record.
Because
that's
another very important ability, you know, to know how to relax, to know how to unveil. Oh, and there is this little point in here. You can extract something.
Leave it
in there so you can open later. No, right?
Look, this is what I do.
You don't open
maybe this. Maybe this we shouldn't record, but I keep them here, and then when I do churrasco, I burn this shit.
You put it in the
churrasco.
In the
carbon.
I think we did that, right, last Saturday. I think I remember you leaving some.
I don't know
some points in there.
I'm gonna edit this. We're still recording. Who gives a shit? This man.
Because I was thinking.
Oh, yeah. I was just thinking. Have a little of that water.
Yeah, I was just. You have your glass, right? Ah, esto.
Yeah.
Estaba pensando, qué bueno, no va a grabar fumando, pero.
Let's keep it the audio. We are here smoking a little Marlboro.
No, the camera's on
Marlboro,
too.
Marlboro, man. Oh, it's on. Okay, I'm sorry about that.
We don't
trying
have
to uncover in here.
We'll have to edit this. No, because I'll edit this. Just put a pause here. Continue.
I don't know.
You know what,
can
man?
We?
You know what? It's a free country. Am I in a free country?
No, it's still a free country. Yeah, we got very close. But yeah, we are. We are in a free country. Our minds are free.
I'm so mad.
Our mouths are free.
I don't even want to get into it, but why the hell is marijuana illegal?
I have no idea. Oh, actually I do.
Hold on. But let me get a little angry.
Yeah, okay.
In comparison to alcohol or tobacco, in comparison to those two drugs,
yeah,
like get the fuck out of here, dog.
That's not even a drug.
Solo
like oregano.
Son los intereses de esa lata, los intereses de ellos que esto no sea legal.
Nowadays, I agree with you, but in the beginning of the drama, you know. I don't know if you know, but marijuana was actually legal for a long time. You know, the guys who founded the United States, you know, the founding fathers, you know who I'm talking about, right?
Let me know.
Washington,
tell me about it.
Washington, Franklin,
Benjamin Franklin.
Smoke
weed.
They actually smoke weed.
Mexicans.
They have plantations. You know, they used to make
hemp.
They used to make paper and rope and things like that. Like, if it wasn't for hemp, America would not have been rich by the Europeans in the 15th century. You know, the only reason those ships were able to cross the ocean was because those sails were made of hemp, because hemp were more resistant.
Wow.
Because if they were made of simple cloth, of cotton, they would break in the middle of the ocean and all of them would die and sink.
You hear that?
So because of weed, because
of
hemp, they actually get in here. Anyway.
What I saw in a Netflix documentary was that all the jazz musicians and all the Mexicans were smoking weed.
That's the excuse. That's just the excuse.
And then they're all like,
that's the minority excuse.
It's all like, nah, let's not let the Mexicans and the jazz musicians enjoy
and
their
the
weed.
Jazz musicians, you mean the black musicians, right? Because that was where they were thinking.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
Blacks and the Mexicans.
Yes.
Those are my people.
Yes, that's why I chose Corinthians
to be. Like I said, that was actually a very beautiful excuse so you can release to the media. You know, because in the eyes of the media, the Mexicans, the musicians, they were already criminals. Not because they smoked marijuana. Before they smoked, so they started to relate marijuana with crime. You know, but the real reason why this was made was because in the 1920s and in the 1930s, hemp was becoming the main source for paper, for manufacturing paper. And there was only one problem with that, the big timber companies. So the big timber companies, they start a hazardous, pejorative campaign against marijuana. And that's why they started to relate it with Mexicans, with immigrants, with black people, with musicians. That was the result of the influence of the timber industry. Because hemp, you can plant, you can grow in 6 months. Do you know how many years it takes to a full-grown tree can be taken down again? At least 6 years. So hemp was substituting cellulose to make paper. And those guys didn't want to lose that money. So yeah, they started a campaign to make marijuana illegal. And how do they make marijuana illegal? Relating to the Mexicans, to the musicians, to the blacks, to the hippies in the 60s, and it goes and it goes.
Have you seen the Mike Tyson podcast?
Political shit.
Have you seen Mike Tyson podcast?
No, I haven't. I didn't even know Mike Tyson has a podcast.
It's called Hot Boxing.
Hot Boxing.
Yeah, he smokes.
I need to check right now.
He smokes
because he's a heavy smoker right now. Yeah.
And this is the toad. He's always talking about a toad, about the Arizona Chihuahuan desert toad.
That's the one that you.
Extract the venom and you get psychedelic visions.
LSA.
Yeah.
No, LSD. More natural.
So this
LSD.
Is it. This is how the frog sounds. This is the Amazonian.
So if you hear that at night, you go and chase them.
And that's, that's some sound
effect.
That's
like a rattlesnake announcing the attack.
Man, well, it's a pleasure to interview you, Daniel, and learn about the books. I really like that you read a lot, learn about some of the authors, and I can learn from that. And some books too, and so the people can also read some books and watch some movies.
We have to incentive the reading.
Yeah, I think it's super important.
It should not become a lost art to read and to write.
Everybody's into videos and watching videos. Man, I love watching videos. I'm guilty as hell.
No, I do. Like I said, I watch maybe 2-3 hours every day. That's not the problem.
It's
the problem is
the
to only do that. Exactly.
That's actually
try different things. Explore. Like you said, the world is an amazing effing place. You know? Enjoy. Try.
Adventure is right around
the
corner.
The worst thing that can happen is, you know, maybe
you
I
go
don't
back
like
to the...
this, so I'm going to go back to what I like, or maybe try something new. It's part of the journey. So we shouldn't be afraid of trying, of doing, of expressing ourselves.
No. I like that, man. I had two more questions that are... I wanted to ask you about... How do you remain focused and how do you remain with flow? Like, you know, when you're just focused, how do you remain? There's two questions. How do you remain focused? And then what do you think about flow and what does that mean to you?
Okay, I think maybe I can try to answer those two questions in one idea. What I do to keep focus, first of all, I exercised the idea of knowing what I want. That's the first thing. You need to be clear in your mind what you want, where you want to get, what is your final goal, what do you want from life. And together with that, coming into this flow idea, when you figure out where you want to be, you start to change your routines, you start to create new habits, you start to change your day by day so you can achieve that goal easier, faster. How do I do that? First of all, I wake up very early. Every day, I wake up like 5 a.m., 5:30 maybe, because I like to do my morning routine. You know, one important thing about controlling your life, about knowing where you're gonna get and how you're gonna get there, is to know yourself. And how do I do that? I do that through
experimenting,
energy exercises, meditation. Everything in the morning, because if you conquer the morning, you conquer the day.
Yeah, I like that.
I believe that. So
I agree with you too. I'm up at I'm up at 6:30, 6:20, but yeah, I like waking up early. There's a sense in the morning of calmness. And,
yes, the whole world is sleeping and you are already.
That's one of the advantages.
Already doing things. I love that feeling.
That's one of my advantages that I have in Brazil, is that the time zone is 1 hour before New York. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but why that works?
Because it's
well for you. Oh, I'm sorry. I used that as an ashtray.
Yeah.
My mistake, yeah.
Because it's not really an advantage. It's just you got to do the work, but...
Why? You have connections?
Because, because it's earlier. I mean, who wants to be up at 6 in the morning taking phone calls and interpreting? And over here is 8 in the morning.
Ah, because of the...
It's more reasonable.
Now I get your point. Okay.
It's 5 a.m. in California, and it's like 9 a.m., 8 a.m. here.
Right, they are waking up there, and you are awake for 3 hours.
Yeah, I'm already ready to take a phone call.
Now I got the feeling of what you're saying.
And I can take a phone call. And New York is an hour down. So it's 8 in the morning, it's 7 in the morning in New York. And it goes 7 in the morning in New York, and then it's 6 in the morning Central Time, and then 5 in the morning Mountain Time, and then 4 in the morning Pacific Time, California Time.
Sure.
Entonces, they're, you know what? I mean, there's a lot of interpreters that are not going to wake up at that time, and I'm out.
Now you are more available because of this.
But it is also a disadvantage, because I must share, because this is something that I'm really not happy about. Maybe it's not good to share in public, but because I'm in Brazil, one of the things that they cut my pay, because I'm living in Brazil, 30%.
Really? But what's their explanation for that? Because
many reasons they got, they're like, whatever, man. I don't want to get into much details. I really didn't.
Sure, and maybe I think you shouldn't.
Yeah, I don't really want to. Yeah.
We have to protect ourselves.
Exactly.
I know about what is that you're talking. Maybe you don't know who's watching, if they're going
exactly,
to see
and
but I'm curious about that, because
what difference does it make,
right?
Yeah, I understand that they have some type of law that they can use to do that. Okay, the IRS permits me to work and pay my taxes.
Yeah, but fuck the law. The question is, should they do this?
No, because they're just freaking mining people. I'm the same person here.
That's what I'm saying. They shouldn't do this.
They shouldn't do it. And now I'm stuck in a negotiation that... I know my worth. I know what I've been.
That's the most important thing you have, man.
Yeah, I know my worth, because I know I've been in the industry maybe 4 or 5 years. Hey, I have another contract, so I know how to compare it.
Okay, I have a reference.
Exactly, and I know, and I like that. I like that number, and so just getting better. And of course, I'm doing my freelance. That's the best thing anyone can do now in this age of the internet, is learn how to do it freelance, learn how to do it by yourself. It's difficult. I am difficulty, but I'm like build my web portfolio. I'm doing different things to do it on my own and charge my price and not have an intermediary do it. And I appreciate the work that they give me, because together we do help a lot of people in the medical field. It's a professional. And, but, man, you see, that's hard. That was a hard one to accept to get a pay cut.
But
that's
like we say in Portuguese, sometimes you have to eat the frog.
Yeah.
Right?
But
actually, you have to swallow the frog. Right?
Yeah.
Like you engolir sapo, because sometimes you don't like it, it's not fair. But you can't complain really directly, because your job depends on that.
My life depends on that.
I get the feeling, like, how many times did I didn't think with myself, what if I was my own job, my own boss, actually, sorry.
Well, right now I am because I have a contract. It's a contract, yeah. But whatever, man. Honestly, at the end of the day, I'm happy. I love my life, man.
And that's important.
And I love my, yeah, I love the place. Man, I couldn't, I just, living in Brazil opens different windows that I don't understand. It's like an LSD trip. Like, it's just, you're not gonna know until you go do it, until you go live in another country, until you go have that experience, until you go skydive. It's never gonna feel like nothing else until you do it.
The proof is in the pudding, right? Like, I can tell you it's amazing, but you'll never know unless you do it by yourself.
Exactly. And I think
it's like
that's
the, it's like the book, you know, guys. Like, if you want to read Moby Dick, go ahead and read, you know. And if you like it, please put a comment, you know, mark me. Say, hey, Danielle, excuse me, but I love that book. And I want to hear why, because
that's a,
I don't know. That's going to be a surprising one.
I think that's a great place to end this podcast.
That's great with me, man.
Yeah, what was the last thing you said that, yeah, I mean, I don't know if we're going to remember, but that was a great place to end. You said, you're going to have, it's in the pudding.
The proof. The proof is in the pudding.
The proof is in the pudding.
It means anyone can tell you, you know, it's good, it's bad, it's worth it, it's not. But the only way that you know for sure is when you go and you do it.
Exactly. And that's it, guys. And thank you for listening. And this is Daniel. One more time, find them. Where do you find them? Where do they find you?
Thank you very much for being here.
Last message you want to tell them?
You can find me on Facebook, you know, Daniel Lara Cesar. It's kind of a personal profile, but if you want to have English classes, if you want to follow crazy recipes and great beers, you can find me in there. Also, you can check Instagram. Is Larinhas _ food and beer. Okay, it's LARINHAS _ FOOD and the letter N beer.
I'll tag it on the podcast.
Yes, for sure.
For sure.
Thank you very much, guys, for listening. Pedro, one more time, thank you for the opportunity. It was a pleasure. I was actually expecting that we are going to have some fun here, and I was correct.
Yeah.
Thanks to the universe, right? We are in tune. And who knows, maybe we'll see each other soon.
Yes.
Or hear from each other soon.
Sounds good.
That's great.
All right, guys. Goodbye.